Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
it
taken care
forever,
of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
League needs to reevaluate the way they approach the preseason. It ain't just Brendan Ayuk and Trent Williams not playing well. There's guys who came. George Kittle or George Odom had a great camp, right? Great camp. Tig Brown had
George
a great
Odom's
camp,
making
right?
$1 million.
Tig Brown had a great camp.
You for extra
great
money.
Camp.
I'm sorry.
Man.
No, there's no excuses.
Oh,
when you
man.
When you hold out and you ask them, it's the same thing we did to Bosa. You got to be ready to play. I'm sorry. Like it's okay.
Those
to
two
admit
guys
it.
Are the only ones making
no.
mistakes.
No, but they're
that's
making
what I'm
big coin.
Okay, but what I'm saying is the team needs to play preseason.
Of course.
So get guys in the camp. Stop it.
But they also need to show up. And this goes, it's not just the player. This is also management style of how
keep
they sign
up.
People. When you wait till the end, there's enough data out. We wait till the end, and there's a depreciating effect on the entire roster getting ready for the regular season. It's inarguable.
Last year, they started 5-0. Nick Bosa held out of camp.
Bosa wasn't good.
But they started off 5-0, and it was no problem.
I don't know.
Whatsoever. Nobody was talking about it.
Wasn't good.
He's not good right now.
Well, Bosa's a lot
what's he
better
do
than
yesterday?
What I've seen from Brandon Ayuk.
What did Brandon Nick Bosa do yesterday?
Bosa had two sacks, one on third down that got them off the field.
Sam Darnold literally ran into the guy. Sam Darnold was running around
from
the pocket and literally ran into the guy.
He
and they're running at
the,
Nick Bosa
outside,
left and right.
And he
these teams got no problem running at Nick Bosa.
I am being fair.
No. What I'm saying is this whole team is sloppy. Illegal penalties, McKivitz, everything.
Both are true.
So
both are true. The team was sloppy, and their top dogs who held out don't look great
oh
right now.
Oh, my gosh. Let's go to let's go to Zach. Zach in Redwood City. Zach, what's happening?
Happy birthday, Bonte. Happy birthday, man.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. All right. So, first of all, I got to say, how about them Hoosiers, man? How about them Hoosiers,
come on, Zach,
man?
Zach, let's go. Ooh, let's
not
go.
Today.
Not today, man.
No, I know,
I
know. All right, here's my point. I was driving back from L.A. watching the game, right, cruising down I-5, and I am very triggered with Brandon Ayuk because, look, you hold out that long and you do all that social media BS stuff, and you're going to be jogging off the field, as Shasky said. Like, come on, can we just agree that that's not okay for a guy that we're paying $30 million to? Like, I understand the rust, because he held out the whole training camp over a couple million dollars, so to say. I don't even know, man. But, like, that's not okay in my book. And the other thing I wanted to say is, man, we paid a lot of money for Javon Hargrave. And I got to say, that guy Pace out of Cincinnati on Minnesota, he probably played better than him yesterday. So that's all I got to say, guys.
The Hargrave deal is not a good deal. He had one play where he like broke through and tried to sack Sam Darnold. Instead, was it Gross Matos? I forget how to pronounce his name.
Peter Gross Matos.
He ended up cleaning up the sack. That was the only play from Hargrave yesterday. He has been very poor in terms of the signing. It has not worked out.
Let's go to Rob Isabrudo. Rob, what's happening?
What's going on, fellas? Hey, we gotta stop this, man. Purdy threw two interceptions. I counted two more drops. You know what I'm saying? And Nick Bosa, you blamed Wilkes all last year. You're not really making plays. Like you said, that one sack he had a legitimate sack. The other sack, Darnold ran right into him. Dorsey threw the ball with a long time. He ran right into him. So at the end of the day, Bosa not making plays. Things are running at him. They've been doing this since he came in the league. So I'm like, you paid him all his money. He's not impacting the game. If you watched Mason Crosby versus Baltimore yesterday.
Oh, my God.
He was a beast.
Possessed.
You can see it with your eyes. I watched the game. He was a beast. Bosa, he disappears. You know, he don't make no plays in the fourth quarter. When we need a play, he didn't make no plays in the match. Just like in the Super Bowl. When he needed to stop, he didn't make no plays.
When was the last time? Because in the Defensive Player of the Year year, he did make plays in the fourth quarter. I can't remember the last time he closed out a game in the fourth quarter with some sort of big-time play. I can't remember. Maybe there was one. Someone will remind me. I will agree with you there.
Yeah, and I just feel like when teams are, even with the Niners, they're running the football, and they're running directly at Bosa. Huh. And that's what they're doing.
I see the same thing you see, Rob, from number 97. So whether you came to camp or not, the team's not playing well. The team's not playing well. And my whole point was the league needs to reevaluate the way they attack the preseason. Because half the league, I'm seeing nothing but yellow flags on the ground. Everywhere. Houston, Chicago, yesterday in Minnesota, New England. See, I'm seeing flags everywhere at every level. And I'm saying to myself, boy, September football, has it ever been this sloppy? Has it ever been this sloppy? I don't know. But look, Trent, there's no doubt Trent had a bad game yesterday. Coming off a good game against the New York Jets. Everybody said, oh, Trent's great. He had a bad game yesterday. There's no doubt. Ayuk has yet to come in 2024, which we kind of knew was going to happen after missing training camp. We knew this was going to happen. Is he making excuses? I don't think so. I'm not going to make excuses for him. He needs to get ready. He needs to roll. By the way, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM, and AC1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. Ayuk is getting no pass from me. He knows what it is. The risk you take in doing this with the fan base and holding out a training camp, you're going to get ridiculed. That's why last week when he didn't come up with the catch, I was first saying, whether you make $500,000 or $30 million, you got to make that play. You got to make that play for Brandon Ayuk. So nobody's caping up for these guys. I don't know what you're talking about. What I'm talking about is this team is not buttoned up right now, not scrimmaging to the Saints, limited snaps in the preseason, and all of a sudden you got all these illegal procedures, you're blowing timeouts, you're looking steps slow, and that's from guys who are in camp. So I don't know.
Debo looks great right now. I think Debo's had two really good games. I mean, it's obviously a small sample size. And I think that Kittle's looked pretty good yesterday. But again, even he had to come out of the game because of an IV situation. And then he came back and he made plays in that one. I do want to get into the Purdy game on the other side. I don't think it was his greatest. I also don't think it was his worst performance. He made some plays, but like, where are we on Brock Purdy? As you watch Baker Mayfield, who signed a three-year, $100 million deal quietly this offseason, lead his team to a huge victory against the Detroit Lions, there is a Purdy conversation to a degree. Well, I thought it was an okay game.
Listen, instead of blaming everybody and blaming camp and blaming holdouts, let's just admit, Minnesota kicked the 49ers' ass yesterday in all aspects of the game. Special teams, offense, defense, the trenches, coaching, they were better yesterday. So instead of putting the finger at every player and saying this guy is this and this guy is that, they got out-coached, out-hit, out-physicaled, out-schemed, outplayed. And they lost yesterday. Is it the end of the season? No. But there's a bigger conversation here. Without McCaffrey for the next at least four, and I don't think he's coming back at all. That's just me. If he comes back, I'll be surprised. But how do you navigate now without CMC? How do you navigate now without Christian McCaffrey? Because we felt his impact yesterday. Oh, buddy, did we? That's coming up here. 888-957-9570. That's all coming up. Brought to you by Chilton Autobody.
We felt like we, you know, could have scored on that drive, and I love the aggressiveness by Kyle, going for it, fourth and two, fourth and one, and they had zero blitz, and you know, one guy just came free, which in our pass protection, that's just how it is, and they got a hand on it, a tip ball, man, at the end. So it was a good defensive play on them, and I was just trying to give JJ a shot. That was where the ball was supposed to go, and against man, and you know, thought I had it, and ball got tipped.
This is Oreo Cookie from Oakland, California. And it's plain to see, you can't change me because I'm going to be a roaster for life.
All right, we're going to get to all the calls here. Duke of San Bruno, JD, Big Pond. We're going to get to everybody here. Everybody on hold, 888-957-9570. You heard from Brock Purdy there. You heard Kevin Harlan on a call for CBS Sports. Who's he doing it with? Trent Green? Trent Green, right? Our boy Trent Green, former Kansas City Chief, St. Louis Ram. And it begins with Brandon Ayuk. I mean, boy, against the Rams, we need Ayuk to have 100 yards, or he needs to have 100 yards, because you get texts like this, on, I knew this was coming as soon as he signed it. We mentioned this, and I see a call here. Oh, wow, okay. we'll get to somebody here in a second. But, you know, B.A. never gets double-teamed from the 707. Well, you missed the Baldy breakdown in the Super Bowl where the Kansas City Chiefs were bracketing him all day long. But you're going to get the overrated chance, and you're going to get to talk about him not getting targets and being overpaid or whatnot. So, you know, that's just the nature of the beast. He's got to play better.
Well, I would ask the coach to get him involved a little early. Yeah, you know, I think that, you know, Purdy and Shanahan have to find a way to get him involved early and often, because A, it gives you a threat on the outside to open up the middle of the field, and B, he is one of your best playmakers, yeah. And I want to get the ball into my best playmaker's hands. And I understand that Juice is going to be the third down target in the backfield because of his ability to block and to be able to make some. He made a nice contested catch. He made actually a couple of really nice catches, but
Juszczyk's playing well.
But we also have to acknowledge, like, Juszczyk's not going to crush a team. You know, Brandon Ayuk's a guy who could game break and break a tackle, and this is why he had 17, 18 yards a catch last year. That's a guy you have to get involved down the field. But I would also say that, B, when you're running these long routes down the field, you have to protect up front.
Yeah, they weren't
protecting. And I didn't think that the route combinations with the protection that they had were in sync yesterday at all. And I know Purdy threw a couple of, actually, an oh-no throw on the very first drive with a late throw to Debo.
Let's be real. Threw about four oh-no throws.
No doubt. But he also threw a couple of really nice balls.
And he threw a couple against the New York Jets. So,
no doubt. I didn't think it was his best game by far, but I also thought he was under duress the whole time.
I've got Brock Purdy with about 5 to 6 oh-no throws to start the season. Just my counter.
How many great throws?
He's had a couple great throws.
I thought the throw to Kittle on third down was a great throw. Was it layered? It was a layered throw with a guy on his back shoulder, and he put it where only he could catch it. I really liked the two scrambles. One to Debo where he like evaded a bunch of the rush through to the sideline. The other one to Juice where Juice's feet were down and he held it tight. And I thought he had a couple of intermediate throws to Debo over the middle of the field in the middle of the game, second and third quarter.
Well, they were high. I mean, he was almost air belling them. But you know what, man? Listen, man. Again, my whole point is we can nitpick, and we're going to talk about the clock situation. We're going to talk about situational football. The Niners were 2-10 on third down while allowing the Vikings to go 7-12 on third down. I thought that was a big sticking point in the game. Stopping the run, situational passing, not executing, turnovers. Block punt's a turnover. Ugh. That's a turnover, folks.
Horrible.
Turnover on downs. The pick. You know, when you're trying to force it to Sauber, you're short late field. Going over the middle of the field, and the Vikings score the next play. The Vikings were just better in every aspect of the football game, but I want to hear from the roasters out there, 888-957-9570. Let's start. Duke has been holding on the longest, and then we'll get JD and Big Pud. Duke, what's happening?
Hey, Duke.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Okay, so this is kind of basic math here. Their third down conversions are putrid.
Their red zone is putrid. I hear about how they thought it was competent of him to go for not go with the field goal for the touch instead of going for the field goal and putting points on the board and going for the touchdown when you're not converting the ball. You got to put the points on the board. You put that 3 points on in the first half in the second quarter. It's a different game. It's an entirely different game. I couldn't believe they didn't go for the field goal. It was unbelievable.
Wow. So you had an issue with that one there. See, in real time, Duke, I didn't have a big issue with that. However, those 3 points loom large, especially when you consider that they gave up 3 points at the end of the first half. And guess what? They gave up a 13 in order for Minnesota to kick that field goal, Duke.
That's 6 points right there.
Yep.
Well, I'm looking at that entire drive, and I wrote down a bunch of stuff on there. Like, on the fourth down play, it was 4th and 3, and Brock was super patient and got through multiple reads, and he threw a dime to Juwan Jennings. So they were aggressive in that situation on that 4th and 3. It felt like they needed momentum, right? And then you get Mason with a crazy run where he double jump cuts, and then he does it again. So it's like, wow, Mason. And then they roll out to the left, the short. This is on first and goal. A play action rolling out to the short side. So as the right-handed thrower, you have to flip your hips and throw. I didn't love that play.
Tie you in the corner.
And then the second and goal, they call a timeout. Okay, 49ers call a timeout. And then out of the timeout, you run a Mason run where he gets completely stonewalled.
Minus the yard.
Third down, you go shotgun, and you throw to Kittle, and it's short. You're not throwing into the end zone. You throw short. So now it's 4th and 1, 1.5?
Fourth and 2 at the Minnesota 2.
Okay. So it's like, I don't know. That sequence of plays I didn't love, and like, I was okay going for it, so I'm not going to sit here and lose my mind about it. I was okay going for it.
Is Brandon Staley already having an influence on Kyle Shanahan? Is that what that is?
I just didn't like the first down call. The rollout to the left, I thought that was it's easy to critique individual plays. I think the sequence of plays, after Mason gets a couple of good runs, it felt like they called timeout, got predictable, and then they get stonewalled, and now it's third and like basically long from the goal line, and you come up short. Easy to sit here and say, yeah, take the points. But in real time, I was like, you know what? I'm okay going for it.
Yeah, I was okay going for it. Because I was thinking, okay, you're going to pin Sam Darnold back at the 2-yard line. They're going to have to go 98 yards to score. What do you know? They go 97 yards over the top.
Darnold. That was one of 6 or 7 where he climbed the pocket after the rush came from the outside, and he threw a perfect ball.
Perfect pass.
It was a perfect ball.
But that defensive alignment, and I can't wait to talk to Baldy about this play tomorrow. How the hell did George Odom end up in press man on Justin Jefferson?
He was in the slot, too.
On Justin Jefferson in the slot. George Odom in press man? You have Diamondre Lenore and you have Charvarius Ward at cornerbacks. All right? Charvarius Ward made an all-pro team last year and is looking for new money. Now, here's what Ward said about shadowing the best wide receiver. Listen to Ward after the game.
Would you have liked to have been matched up on him more often today?
I feel like I play best when I play best when I follow the best receiver around, but that wasn't the game plan, you know what I mean? When I'm following the best receiver around, I'm always alert, I'm ready for the challenge, but that's just what the game plan,
That was the game plan, so I don't like the game plan. I don't like any game plan that has, in this formation, when we're in this situation, and they go 2 wide receivers to the right, twins right, we're going to have George Odom press man up on Jefferson, and your help's going to be Tick Brown.
A career special teamer who's playing safety, right? A career special teamer. I don't care how great his camp was.
I think they pulled him. They pulled him after that
Mustafa
for a while.
Mustafa ended up playing later. Well, and so, that's one of optimistic. 2 changes that I would make. One is playing Mustafa more. The second one, get Devondre Campbell off the field and put in Bethune. Or D. Winters, like, your foot's got to heal up, dude. Let's go.
Yeah, no, Devondre Campbell, just another quiet game.
You got to get him off the field.
I'm not even going to talk about him.
They moved him with his, I'll give Sam credit. He moved moved him with his eyes on multiple plays, and then like, oh, we're just going to throw into the window that you vacated.
Right
in the middle of the field.
I wonder how much of Floyd Staley's having off shed ahead so far, because then you make it a 3-3 game. But those 3 points right there that you don't get, and the 3 points you give up at the end of the half, I thought that was awful, awful defense to close the half. Just, you lost all the momentum you gained after going for a touchdown. You go on the long drive here. You score a touchdown. It's a 10-7 game. You go 5 plays, 65 yards. Boom, 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 boom. You're back in it. And Minnesota just goes right down the field to score. 8 plays, 49 yards in a minute, 53. Like, again, 3rd and 13. I'm looking at a 3rd and 13 for the 45, and Justin Jefferson gets 16. It's just not good enough. It's not good enough by the 49ers.
Well, what if I said to you, though, that, you know, there was a punt block and they ended up getting a turnover? You know what I mean? And there was a short, they had another short field possession where they scored a touchdown right away. Like, I don't know. As bad as that individual play was, and it was bad, and as bad as their third down defense was, they couldn't get the situational stop, which ultimately is part of the reason why they got put in the situation they were in. I don't know. It was bad, but it wasn't that bad defensively.
It felt like Minnesota.
C-minus, D-plus.
Minnesota controlled the line of scrimmage.
I agree, and
they controlled it for the second straight year. They were a step ahead of the 49ers defense. That wasn't good enough yesterday.
I would agree.
I mean, Fred Warner saved them from getting blown out of the stadium. That game was about to be 27-7. Folks are going to be going home in the fourth quarter. Oh, Dwayne Fontana and the crew were out there in Minnesota. They would have been going to the airport early, saying, yeah, the hell with this. We've already seen the stadium. It's time to get out of here. Let's beat the traffic. I mean, Minnesota did whatever they wanted to do offensively, I felt like.
Did you hear Trent Green during the broadcast reference that the Niners have had 3 different passing coordinators in 3 years?
Yeah, it's a little weird.
I get you lose guys off your staff, and I understand all that. It's just like, I don't know. Maybe it's nothing because Shanahan's the entire, you know, he's the offensive coordinator, so maybe I'm making too much of it. That can't be great for development with your quarterback.
Well, Brian Greasy's still there.
That's true.
Shanahan's still there, so I think we're nitpicking on that one there. The passing game has been fine. I mean, they were historic last season. You know what I'm saying? I don't know.
It was just a tidbit that I heard, and I said it was interesting.
I hadn't thought of that. But I'm more focused on Sorensen.
Okay.
Now Sorensen, you know, the passing game coordinator, the passing game's been fine. It was okay yesterday. But this defense on third down, Nick Sorensen, it's a hot seat over here. I'm not saying he's on the hot seat, but that's a hot button topic, the defensive coordinator for the 49ers. And if Tarvarius were to say, hey, look, I would like to shadow guys all game long. Diameter Lawrence is probably thinking the same thing. He was sitting right next to Tarvarius Ward during the presser, listening in.
I don't love him saying that out loud. I don't think it was as egregious. When you hear it, it's not as egregious as it's transcribed. But like, I would have just kept that to myself.
Well, you got to speak on it. Sometimes you need to hear it out loud. I mean, everybody was cool with Bosa and Warner, and everybody was cool with them ripping on Steve Wilkes last year.
I don't know if we were cool with it. It was telling that there was...
Shanahan did it, and everybody was Wilkes needs to hear that.
But what did Baldy say about Shanahan doing that? You don't do that to one of your coaches.
I agree with Baldy, but I'm saying not everybody agreed with Baldy with that one. So I will say this,
that the defense, the third down last year, their third down percentage in terms of getting stops was 5th or 6th worst, depending on, because there's a varying metrics on this thing. They weren't great last year, and yesterday that was a big bugaboo, and it was the situational one. So to me, them identifying Yadam as the guy to pick on a couple of different occasions regarding the communication on a couple rub routes and then that seam route. Yep. I mean, multiple third downs, they converted with the game on the line, and that was the frustrating thing to me. It's like, you have too much money on this defense to not get a situational stop earlier. Even if you give up the field goal with the 6-minute mark, you're giving yourself more of an opportunity to make that a game. But them going all the way down inside the 10, it was game over.
Yeah, game over. Game over. Let's go to JD in San Francisco. JD, what's happening?
Man, Bonte, I'm with you today, man. We got, in the words of Aaron Rodgers, I hate to quote that dude, relax, Niners fans. Like, it's one game. You know what I mean? It's like, we knew, Well, let's be honest, fellas. Do we expect them to go undefeated this year?
No, I hope not. I hope nobody expected
but
that.
But looking at the schedule, fair enough, but looking at the schedule, there's a lot of tough games. And we know, going back a couple of years, the one game loss to the Chicago Bears did end up deciding whether you went to Philadelphia or Philadelphia came to San Francisco. So I know like it's not the end-all be-all to the season, but it does hurt for seeding.
I agree. And like, but we knew we were going to lose three or four games this season, right? Like, just being realistic about it. Was it a bad loss? Did it look bad? Yes. But like you said, you look across the league, the Rams got blown out yesterday. The Ravens are 0-2. Like, you look at a lot of these teams that are supposed to be higher ups, and there was a lot of blowouts. About this point, teams are starting slow for whatever reason this year. And so it's like, for Niner fans today, it's like, okay, we had a bad game. It's like, call it what it is. You learn from. You go from there. Luckily, it happened early in the season, week two, rather than week 12 or 13 or 14, right, where like you're getting close to the playoffs, and then you get your face kicked in. It's like we lost in week two. Okay, you iron it out, you learn from it, and you go from there. But today, I feel like all day, we're going to hear Niner fans, we're going to hear everybody talk about overreactions. Oh, my God, what do they do? What do they change? Yeah. Like, it's one game.
Well, can I ask you this one? Okay, it's one game, but it's year eight for this coach, and situationally in the fourth quarter, I scratch my head over sense of urgency, understanding the clock, when and where to use your timeouts, you know, what you're doing in terms of play calling and understanding, hey, do I go for two here? Do I not go for two here? Do I kick the field goal? Because then I can give myself a chance to get the ball back. Like, some of those things, like, we're not with a rookie coach. This isn't his second year, third year. This is the same issue over and over and over. The clock management was not good. I can't defend it at all, and I love Shanahan.
I agree. But in years past, what did we say before? He wasn't aggressive enough. So it's like, okay, the guy went for it this year. We've never seen it before, the guy going fourth down. It's like people would say he's too conservative because he never would go for it on fourth down. So now all of a sudden he tries to go for it on fourth down a couple of times, and granted, were they the wrong call? Possibly he didn't make the right play call. But the guy's trying something new this year, right? So, again, it's good that it's happening early in the season, that we're trying it right now. To Bonte's point, sometimes some teams just have your number, right? It's like Minnesota, we haven't won there, what was it, 8 years in a row? We haven't won there. It's like sometimes certain teams just have your number, and you can't beat them, and it is what it is. It's like for years when we were beating up on the Rams, sometimes it just is what it is, where you just have certain teams' number. But it's like the overreaction that I feel like we're going to have all day. It's like, oh, my God, the sky's falling. Guys, right. It was one game a year.
Good call, JD. Good call. Let's go to Big Pun in South City. Big Pun, what's happening?
What's up, Big Pun?
Good morning, bros. How you doing?
What's up, I hope you're doing better, buddy.
Yeah, I am feeling a little bit better. I'm sitting outside of the physical therapy office. I got to go in here in a few minutes to go do some jogging and some physical therapy.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about
this? I feel like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken care of. It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast. Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Big hug, bro. Big hug.
Thank you, bro. I appreciate that. I really do, man. And yesterday, yes, yesterday was a terrible game. I'm with, first of all, Justin Jefferson. He's a bad dude. One way or another, you can't have Odom on Jefferson. It's hard enough if you put Ward on Jefferson, right? Odom, not a chance against Jefferson. Kyle Shanahan, is he ever going to be a head coach? Or I just seem like he's like an over-glorified offensive coordinator. He misses all the big mistakes, all the timeouts, all the clock management. It's like he misses all that because he's so focused on our offense, which isn't really clicking right now because there's no Christian McCaffrey, right? If we put Christian McCaffrey in there, the offense is clicking, everybody's running smooth. I think that's why they went and paid Ayuk the $130 million because they knew Christian McCaffrey. I don't know if he's going to be back. They say 6 weeks. I wouldn't be surprised if it was longer.
Yeah. Good call, Big Pun. Look, here's Kittle on CMC, the absence of CMC.
Christian is the offensive MVP for a reason. He was in the MVP voting for a reason. He had 20-plus touchdowns for a reason because he does it all in the pass game, in the run game. It's really fun because it's like having Debo and him are just interchangeable. Like, you'll have Christian running routes, and then all of a sudden you put a Mike linebacker on him and Debo's in the backfield. You have no idea what you're going to get. So it just gives us another dimension. And then, he's voted he didn't do anything. He didn't do OTAs. He didn't do really much at training camp. He's still voted a captain. So, like, there's the impact that you guys can see. He has an incredible impact on this team. Just him being around, he boosts everyone's confidence. But, I still think we could have, we won last week. I think we had opportunities to, find a way to win today. And, we just didn't. But, it's just there's things that we can't do without Christian.
So the loss of Christian McCaffrey, we know everybody's going to focus on the rushing yards with Jordan Mason, and he's been valiant in that aspect. But the Niners are 4-9 in the red zone so far this season. It's 5 red zone trips where they haven't scored a touchdown. Christian McCaffrey led the league in touchdowns last year, broke a franchise record. So his nose for the goal line is missed. And then with George Kittle saying that there's a lot of things we can't do without him. The screen game. The quick shovel passes. I mean, McCaffrey's everything. And a can. I'm working in, under the assumption that we're not going to see him this season. That's the assumption I'm under. So how do you replace that? Who do you replace that with?
Okay, and through two games, it's not a huge sample. I feel like they've been able to run the ball. The thing that they haven't been able to do is take the big, deep shots via play action. Those aren't open like they were, right? You know, like when they had their, it felt like these drives are long drives. Not that they're Jimmy G-esque, but they're certainly not boom, 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 boom. We marched down the field in 6-7 plays.
We're grinding for them.
Right? There was a sense of urgency with the other offense when you had CMC in there. And I think that the way teams defended you on the back end was different and opened things up. Mm-hmm. Now I feel like people are dropping back and they're manning up in certain areas. It's just, I don't know. It doesn't look the same. Even though they're running the ball at a good clip.
They're running the ball, but I think the biggest miss
the
is
play action
third down.
There.
Well, the play action's not there. The screen game's not there. Checking it down to the running back is not there. And all the little subtlety. Your playbook opens up so much with Christian McCaffrey. And they're missing him in the red zone. They're missing because Jordan Mason is a north-south type of runner. You know, he's not going to have much wiggle. He's going to run right through you. He's got some hurdles, but he's going to run right through you. McCaffrey got so much wiggle that around the four-yard line, you could do so many different things. Inside the goal line, you run it to Jordan Mason. Teams are going to load up and say, okay, we know what's coming here. We know what's coming. He's not a threat in the pass game whatsoever. And so now you're putting yourself in a sticky situation here. The injury is Christian McCaffrey. The Achilles tendonitis. Again, I'm going to say this every single week. If McCaffrey comes back this season and plays, it will be a bonus.
So I think it's easy. Like I 100% agree with you, right? Anything you get feels like a bonus. But here's where my brain goes, and I think this is an impossible equation for the Niners. There's no right answer. You try to get him back as soon as possible, and you run the risk of hurting him no matter what, right? But you try to get him back, get anything for him. Let's say he gets hurt. He's out for a year. Is it better? Like, if they think that he's going to get hurt no matter what, right? Is it better to get hurt now, and then maybe he comes back and halfway through next year? Do you wait till December, January, and then he gets hurt December, January? I'm not saying he's automatically getting hurt, but it feels like that, right? He could be ramping himself up, feel really, 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 really good for, you know, 8 weeks, and all of a sudden he comes back and then get hurt. I feel like they're a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. That's kind of where I'm going. It's like I'm not going to crush the Niners if they rush him. I'm not going to crush him if they wait. I think they're screwed.
Well, yeah.
I hate saying it like that, but I feel like they're screwed.
Well, a conversation that we probably won't have today, but a question in my mind.
What's that?
Since we always like to talk about money and pocket watch, the Niners did give Christian McCaffrey a 2-year, $38 million extension at 19 per. And look, what you're going to do? Not pay Christian McCaffrey? I get it. You pay him. You want to do right by him. But they did give him 2 years and $38 million. And we've got an Achilles tendonitis issue.
Well, the question then becomes, did you know about it before?
Right.
That's the number one question to me. You can't necessarily control. The same thing happened with Eric Armstead. You sign Eric Armstead, he hurts his foot, underperforms.
Pearsall, you draft Pearsall.
Exactly.
And you say, oh, we knew about the shoulder.
But if you knew about, Kinlaw, they knew about the knee.
Yeah.
They knew about the knee before taking Kinlaw. And it ended up, you know, really bothering him. So did you know or did you not? That's not for today. They don't look as explosive without McCaffrey. It's inarguable, even though Mason's running well.
Somebody on YouTube asked, how many catches? Oh, 602. How many passes to the running backs? Well, Juszczyk has had a couple catches last week.
Yeah.
He had a couple catches this week. But Jordan Mason so far in the season, 2 catches, 9 yards.
Yeah, he's
2 catches, 9 yards.
That's just not a strength of his.
I think they're going to need another running back.
There's no doubt.
Let's go to, you know what? Huh. Look who's calling. Look who has the audacity to call. This team got a little win in Nashville, Tennessee. They're on the board after getting killed at Levi's Stadium, just destroyed. Yogi has decided to call the morning roast today. Huh, how ironic. Yogi, good morning. Where were you last week?
Monte, how you doing, buddy? Happy birthday. I just want to say happy birthday, man. You know, are you familiar with the Circle of Life at all?
Is this a Lion King's reference?
Yes, yes. You know, you beat up on me, and then Sammy Darnold, the Jets Hall of Famer, comes in, whooping that ass on your birthday.
Hey, Yogi, So what are you getting my jersey?
Hey, I was going to ask you, can I get you a Sam Darnold?
No, you,
Niners
you
get, one?
No, no, you're going to get me a Ricky
Waters.
That's
what you wanted next year for your quarterback, though. You want him next year for the quarterback, right?
Number 32, Ricky Waters.
You're already falling off the Brock Purdy bandwagon.
Hey, who, what the hell are you talking about? I don't even know what you're talking about. Yoki, why did you call me last week? Why'd you duck the smoke? Why you didn't call me last week? Because now you look.
Yogi, do me a favor. Make this call later on in the week.
You sound to look like a call. You sound to look like a clown right now. Why did you call me last week?
Because I knew you were going to be on a hiatus. But right now, look how it is. We're even ground now.
No, we're not
last
even.
Now we're even ground.
The Niners beat the Jets by 13 points. We're not at even ground. What are you talking about?
We're both 1-1.
I don't know. Are you going to win the same amount of Super Bowl rings this year as the Jets? I think so. That's called even ground. We
all
both
right.
lose
Save
this year.
Save that for later in the week. Let's go out to some real callers to talk Niner football.
What a joke. What a clown. What an absolute clown. No, Yogi, don't call back the show, please. I'm done with you.
Sorry, B. I don't need Richie, to hear that today.
Richie Rich in Livermore. Richie
what's
Rich.
Up, what's up, Richie Rich?
What's good, my guys? Good morning, man. Happy birthday, B. Man, Yogi's a freaking cornball. Don't answer that dude's call no more.
He's a straight-up loser.
That dude's a straight cornball, dude. I'm with you, B. You guys kind of already touched what I was going to say, but, man, we've got our ass whooped, man, top to bottom, all sides of the ball. What really annoyed me, too, is Bosa. It looks now as if whoever lines up is ready for him, right? Mm. If you can withstand the bull rush, then you got time on that side. He ain't doing nothing special, dude. And if you guys noticed yesterday, we talked about this, Shasky, the new defensive coordinator was gonna put him back in coverage. I seen him drop back in coverage over four times yesterday, and Darnold was just sitting there like in Christmas, bro, ready to just do whatever he could do. That did not look good. And then Purdy, I know we said he had a hit or miss game. I think he had a bad game. I look at that pass he threw to Kittle on the far side, double covers that they dropped. That was almost an interception, yeah. You know. And he does, you know, he does do that in that anticipation, right? He throws that ball a little bit early, you know, anticipating that runner's going to be there or that receiver. But he doesn't pull off of it. Like if he's set on throwing that ball, he's going to throw that ball whether there's two guys there or three guys there, and that's scary, man. He got 300 yards yesterday, but he got that because of that fourth quarter, he got a bunch of garbage yards up the middle. Otherwise, he easily only throwing for two something, and he could have had three picks, fellas. What you guys think?
Well, I think you're kind of spot on here. I didn't think it was a great game by any means. He made a couple of really nice throws. I want to make sure that that's very clear. First drive, third and three, stares down Debo. Linebacker jumps right in front of it. They were lucky to walk away with a punt.
Yeah, three
and not
out.
A pick.
Three. What did you think of that first drive, real quick, before we continue? First drive, they come out of the gate, three straight passes, three and out, boom, boom, boom. It's like, damn, that was quick and short-lived.
Well, and then the second drive, did almost the same thing. And then they finally ran the ball with Mason to get called back for a hold. It was like a 12-yard gain. So, yeah, they were behind the sticks the entire time. And, you know, in that second drive, all right, that you're referencing, third and five, Brock's in the pocket. He climbs up. He sees pressure. He looks down at the pressure and then throws a skipped ball deep. You know, he underthrew it because he looked down. He was feeling the pressure. He referenced that throw over the top late in the game. That should have been intercepted by Byron Murphy. I mean, he had both feet
in
bounds.
Yeah, both feet in bounds.
Yeah.
Yep.
Later on in the game.
That's five no throws from Brock Purdy.
There were two that either Van Ginkle or Cashman jumped on over the middle. He tipped one of them that was going to Debo, and I think it went off Debo's shoulder pad. It was tough to tell. And then I don't know what happened on the one. He pulled back to throw, and it just came out. Was he going to pull that back and pump fake? It was a fumble. Not it wasn't good. An interception, and the guy just caught it in the middle air. I don't know where he was going with that.
That was not a good Brock Purdy game.
No.
On the Brock Purdy metric. The numbers will dress it up. They will dress it up. Darnold was a better quarterback on the field, and I was mostly tongue-in-cheek with the whole Sam Darnold's going to be a free agent after the season. But there was always a love affair with Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch and Sam Darnold. Those rumors permeated throughout the NFL for years. The Niners were close to trading for Darnold multiple times. It's out there. And so he will be a free agent after the season, and with a game like that, wow. I know people in that building love Sam Darnold. So I'm saying that to say Brock Purdy yesterday, that was not a good game whatsoever. Well, and that's the evolution. Last year, Brock Purdy gets a pass.
Mm-hmm.
You're not ready to carry a football team. You're in your first year starting as a full-time quarterback, your second season overall. I'm giving a quarterback a pass for not being able to, quote-unquote, carry a football team. But now we're in year three. And we have to decide our new money. Now, I don't want to talk contract here, but we're making an evaluation. Is it going to be 60, 50, 40, 30? How many years on this deal?
Baker got a three-year, $100 million deal. Looks like a steal.
Oh, he's playing phenomenal football. Looks big like win for steal. Them yesterday in Detroit.
So you bring up Purdy, and there's absolutely, we're going to have this conversation week in, week out. The other element that my boy Richie Rich brought up is Nick Bosa. And I'm going to go back to this. And you know I'm a huge Nick Bosa fan. Huge. When he won the DPOY in 2022, there were, and you kept saying, fourth quarter. There was the Tampa game. Then there was the New Orleans game. And there was all these games down the stretch where he iced them out with just taking over. Whether he was getting sacks, creating pressure, you know, other people were cleaning it up. I feel like he hasn't had a fourth quarter. And again, I would love to just point one out because maybe I'm missing one. I'll admit, I don't remember every fourth quarter of every game. I can't remember a fourth quarter where Bosa took over in the way T.J. Watt has multiple times in the last couple of months of playing football. Yep. Or Chris Jones does. It seems like every time the Chiefs need something. Even if he's not the one getting the sack, he's creating havoc and someone else is cleaning it up. Fourth quarter, Bosa. Like, yes, he had the two sacks. But fourth quarter, when this team needed to stop and they needed to get off the field, that's where I need a guy making $30-plus million a year to come through and create havoc. And I'm just not seeing it.
Yeah, I'm just alarmed. I'm alarmed at how many teams have no problem saying, you know what, we're going to draw this play up, this run play, and we're going to run at number 97. And we're going to get plus yards. Like, that is maddening to me. When I'm seeing Max Crosby, Baltimore's like, yeah, we're good off running towards him. They gave up on that dream yesterday. T.J. Watt, I'm seeing him make play after play and play in Denver.
T.J. Watt's amazing.
I mean, just unbelievable.
He's a click above, Bo, so it's not even debatable.
Myles Garrett in that defensive front in Cleveland. I mean, good Lord. Bosa's got to step up. But when it comes to back to Purdy for a second, let's not forget, Shanahan falls out of love with quarterbacks very quickly. Very quickly. Now, I'm not saying he's quote-unquote, moving out from Brock Purdy.
Yeah.
But don't let too many instances like yesterday happen the rest of the year for Brock Purdy. Because Shanahan will start, his eyes will start wandering once again. This guy, again, I'll never forget Shannon Sharp. He played for the Shanahans. He goes, well, there's one thing I know about Mike Shanahan and Kyle Shanahan. Patience and the Shanahans do not get along. So just bookmark it. Just keep it in mind. Performances like yesterday, that wasn't a $60 million a year quarterback.
Yeah, but
that wasn't a $50 million a year quarterback. And if you're going to get paid that money, Shasky, you have to rise above the rush. You have to rise above not having Chris McCaffrey. You still got an all-pro in Brendan Ayuk. You still got an all-pro in George Kittle. You still got all-world Deebo Samuel. Mason's running hard, so I don't want to hear the excuses that he doesn't have a lot of guys. Just saying, Shanahan runs out of patience very fast when it comes to quarterbacks.
Totally fair. But I'm also here for some criticism on Shanahan, who I've defended till I'm blue in the face. I want to be a fly in the room when they review the film for the fourth quarter. Like, not going for two, okay, in that situation. There's a mathematical breakdown on going for two in that situation. It's 20-13, okay? It's 20-13, okay? If you go for two and you don't get it, you're down 10. That's two scores. If you get the field goal, the extra point, excuse me, it's 20-14. You're down 9. You're still down two scores. If you go for two and you get it, you're down 8 if they kick a field goal. I'm saying if the team goes in on to kick a field goal. So that's bad. And then secondarily, where is the sense of urgency to know you have to kick a field goal on the other side of 2 minutes to give yourself a chance to get the ball back because you had zero timeouts? Shanahan is making probably $15 or $20 million a year. And so to your point about Purdy, it's totally fair. You know, but Kyle's also one of the highest paid coaches. And this clock management, situational football thing continues to come. I can't defend him anymore.
Well, you know how I feel about Shanahan at times. I don't even need to speak on it. Let's go to Lars in Pacifica. Lars, what's happening?
Hey, guys. Good morning. Bummer for the 49ers in the Bay Area yesterday. My two cents is that I feel like Shanahan needs to listen to his own players sometimes, specifically for the George Kittle soundbite where he's like, hey, guys, we can't we can't do things without CMC, because every single time they try to do a Deebo Samuel wide receiver screen, a jet sweep, the defense just sees it coming, and it just gets blown up. It's almost a turnover. I mean, it feels like when one of the red zone possessions, you know, Deebo catches the ball, it knocks him back, and they're 6 yards. Every time these Deebo cutesy plays get blown up, it feels like the momentum out of the offense, it's like letting the air out of the balloon. And I just want to get your guys' thoughts on that, because it's, for me, it's so predictable. You know, I played football, like, not professionally in high school. I've watched football a long time. Every time you see this Deebo play coming, the defense sees it coming. I'm on the couch seeing it coming, and I just don't know why we're continuing to go back to the well with Deebo on these plays when they're not working for two games straight.
Yeah, the Deebo jet sweeps, Deebo handoffs, Deebo playing running back. Let's just burn that play.
How about when they're
Let's burn that page and just throw it away, because I think the league has been all over ever since he had that record breaking season. It's rare when he gets off long runs anymore in a run game. It's just not. Yesterday, two carries, minus 10 yards, just not a factor in a run game whatsoever.
And they had multiple swing passes to him that were completely predictable. One of them, they were backed up against their own end zone after a false start by Trent Williams, and they throw a swing pass, and Deebo's got to break like eight tackles. Another one, he's triple covered, Purdy doesn't throw to him smartly and has to scramble and takes a sack. How's that on Purdy? It was just such a predictable swing pass that clearly they were going to have juice and Deebo go to the outside. I actually think Deebo's been brilliant this year in terms of as a wide receiver and as a weapon just in general, but I'm with him on some of the behind the line of scrimmage stuff is very, very predictable.
It is predictable, but you know what though?
Feels very 2022-ish.
That goes back to Brian Flores. He was in his bag yesterday, as the kids say. He was cooking. And they were they were a step ahead of Shanahan. They were a step ahead of Purdy. They had Purdy befuddled. They had Shanahan confused. This was a great game play by Minnesota for the second season in a row. 17-17. That's what the Niners have scored the last 2 years in Minnesota. 17 points last year on Monday Night Football. 17 points this season on a Sunday morning. And it really wasn't even that close this year. Last year, they could have stole it. This year, it wasn't even that close. Fred Warner saved you from getting blown out. So, you know what? I'm going to chalk it as just a bad game at the office for Shanahan. Purdy. I'm not going to get into, hey, well, this guy's overrated. That guy's overrated. This guy's... No. It's week two. And Shanahan has the track record of being a damn good coach. A damn good coach. I believe they'll bounce back against the Rams and everybody be happy next Monday. No, but for a game, but give Minnesota their due. They were the reason why the Niners looked the way they did.
Well, they were outplayed. I mean, there's no doubt about it.
Out-hit, outplayed, out-physical, out-schemed, out-everything.
And it could have been worse. I mean, we aren't even talking about it. They kicked a punt inside the one, and the guy, I don't know what he was doing.
They
got kind of lucky on that play. Like, they got lucky on a lot of plays, quite frankly.
They got outplayed yesterday. We're lucky the game even came down to the fourth quarter, for crying out loud. Injury report.
It's time for the injury report.
That really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
Later in the week, we'll be discussing who needs a big game Sunday against the Rams. I'm guessing Brandon Ayuk's going to be number one on that list, because the Jackals are coming out, as Guru would say, at Brandon Ayuk. Should have sent his ass to Cleveland. Ain't nothing like football. Christian McCaffrey, Achilles tendonitis saga took a dark turn over the weekend. Niners play CMC on an injury reserve list, meaning he will miss at least four games. Four games, he's going to be out. NFL Network's Ian Rappaport reported that McCaffrey's absence could last a few games longer than that. I was told, don't expect him back before the bye week. Don't expect him back before the bye week. Hell, after the bye week, it's a roll of the dice. Boy, that's not good. That's not good. Christian McCaffrey, reigning offensive player of the year on IR. And it's going to miss at least four games, and it's probably going to be longer than that.
I'm out.
That's the injury report brought to you by Boxer Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. What's coming up in the game brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. More of your phone calls. JC, Coach, Tony, Shamry, Verducci, BPA. We got to get to everybody and much, much more. It's your show today. It's the Niners losing to the Vikings 23-17.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.